I'm Scarlett Douglas, and you're listening to the Motivation Mixtape Podcast. Over the series, we're going to be hearing from some of the almost superhuman athletes that make up our British Olympic and Paralympic teams as they prepare to compete at one of the world's greatest sporting events, Rio 2016. We'll be finding out what it takes to become a world-class competitor.
You're in sport and you have to grow thick skin, and if you're going to let this get to you, then you're not the athlete that I thought you was.
What motivates them to succeed.
That disappointment spurred me on so much.
And the music that inspires them when they train.
It was the first song that I listened to in my car when I first got a car and learnt to drive again after my accident.
As they each build their own motivation mixtape. Joining me on this episode is the multi-record holder and current British number one race walker, Tom Bosworth. Hello, Tom.
Hiya.
Oh, it's lovely having you here. How are you?
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Good. Well, I say it's lovely having you here, but actually you're not here. We're on Skype. Whereabouts are you?
I live and I train full-time in Leeds. But my life is pretty much training full-time, talking about 120 to 140 kilometres a week. So pretty much training.
Wow, okay. Now, I am going to be hearing about all your music choices later on. But before we talk about that, I want to just find out more about you and your training, find out more about this 120 to 140 kilometres a week. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty full on. It's pretty much a job for me. I'm lucky enough I don't have to work, so I can just train full time. And I'm in the gym three times a week as well, working on strength and my life just is training, eating, sleeping and training.
As I mentioned in my introduction, you've already made some amazing achievements in your life so far. So please talk me through all of those.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the fastest race walker in British history. I mean, not many people have heard of race walking, but we've actually got a massive, massive history of it. Plenty of Olympic medals in the past. I hold the 3K, the 5K, 10K and 20K British records. I completed my set this year and I've just been winning races all over the world, and it's I've just been having fun doing it, which I guess is probably the most important thing, and why I'm doing so well is because I just love what I do.
Can you tell me what your records are for your speeds or for your distances?
Yeah, so my 3K record is 10 minutes and 58 seconds. I do 5K in 18 minutes and 54 seconds. 10K I do 39 minutes 36 seconds, and 20k is 1 hour 20:41. So anybody who runs out there can put that into perspective for them and think, wow, he does walk fast.
I mean, that'd probably take me about 5 hours minimum to run that. Okay, so the real reason we're here is because I want to talk to you about the music that inspires you when you train, you know, when you're in the zone. So first of all, is music a big part of your life?
It really is, but it's not actually the biggest part of my sporting side of me, actually. But I really enjoy music, and that's why I really wanted to do this. And before a race, music's very important to me. And I often put a song to emotion or something that's happened in my life, almost as an instant memory. It always stays with me, and so yeah, music is very, very important to me.
So Tom, if we were to put together a mixtape for you in order just to get you motivated, what would you say the first track would be?
My mixtape would definitely be a mix of personal and emotional side of things, which remind me of very, very important moments in my life, to kind of real hype up sort of tracks. And so I'd actually start with James Bay and Running. A track which has a lot of meaning to my personal life. Obviously, being an athlete, you're away so much, and this was a song that was constantly on the radio at the time I was about to go away for another training camp, you know, a month away from my partner. And so every time I listen to this, it doesn't make me sad or anything like that. It just makes me think of how lucky I am to have my family and my partner. When you go, turn on the light, and no one's there to hold you in the night. I'll keep running to the place where I belong. What would you say the second one would be? I'll stay on the same lines there. The second one would be Tom O'Dell and Constellations. That's very specific to me and my partner. I don't even know whether he knows that, but it is for me. And so again, these songs, they wouldn't hype you up before a race, but they would certainly remind me of just how lucky I am. Candlelight, Lord, there's people all around us, but they're leaving you alone. You're telling me a story, some lover that you had. Go on, tell me now, tell me now, I think I'll understand. I'd put a bit of a classic on, and Outkast and Roses.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
Complete opposite, but when I was out on not a first date, but it was very early in my relationship. My partner's from Liverpool, so he loves to party.
Okay.
I don't go out so often, and I don't go party very often. So I said, the challenge is, if you can get the DJ to play Outkast Roses, then I will stay out. And boy, did he get it on, and he did everything he could. And when it played, it was just so funny, and it's such a great tune. Thank you. Don't stay. There's one more that I would definitely stick on there, and you can't judge me for this. This is purely my partner and everything that he stands for, and it's Defying Gravity from the musical Wicked.
No way!
Yeah, I'm
not. That's brilliant.
I'm not.
Hey, you should be proud. Don't judge it. I've got friends in that show. I absolutely love it.
Oh, I do as well. I've seen
Have
it five
you? Okay,
times.
A few more than me, but yeah.
And it just reminds me of 5 brilliant years with my partner. If we go and see it, he sits there and he sings under his breath all the way through, and I just want to punch him every time he does it. He's played it so much that I know every single word to it. And, you know, it's not a bad motivational song either. And so there's so much meaning to that song for me. That would be top of the list.
That's a brilliant one. I love that. I mean, they're all very personal, aren't they? They've all kind of got special memories for you. I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I use music for, is kind of reminding me. So if I don't have pictures or anything like that of an event, my memory, you know, as soon as the music, a song plays, it just comes straight back to my mind.
Great. Okay. What would you say is after that one?
I'd probably move on to 3 that I would, these would be a pre-race sort of, or even post-race, you know, thinking back if a race went really well and I wanted to get pumped up for training or something like that, I'd put one of these 3 or all 3 of them on. The first one is Skepta, Hold On. Lyrics to me are really important about a song. It's not just what's the noise coming off. It is the lyrics completely. And before a race, this song just gets me absolutely pumped up. Then I would go to Rudimental, Not Giving In. Another one again, all about the lyrics, all about kind of just getting absolutely pumped up. And then the one that I'd probably almost give myself that confidence, and those moments kind of maybe before I would get called up for a race, you have to go into a holding room, and that's where you have to just go in there ready to race. So the final song before I go in there would be Michael Bublé and Feeling Good.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
It's a song that absolutely sends tingles down my spine.
And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good.
So you must need that positive mindset with this activity.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, that whatever you do in life, you know, there's mornings where you just don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to go to work, you don't want to go to school, whatever it is. And I get the same. I don't want to go out when it's cold and rainy and up here in Yorkshire, and you just want to stay in bed in the warmth rather than go out and do half a marathon and then come back, recover, eat, sleep, and then go again, you know. But it's that strong mentality which, if you're going to make it to the highest level as an athlete, you've got to have.
What would you say would be more important in your sport, the physical side of it or the mental strength?
I think both. Any endurance, if you're running sort of marathons to 10,000 metres or cross country or ultra marathons even, it needs that crazy mental side to keep going, as well as the strength and the physical fitness that you build up.
And what would you say would be the characteristics that you need to become an Olympian?
I think you've got to be committed. You've got to be willing to take knocks and learn from those knocks and learn from those bad days and mistakes. And if you don't learn from them, then you'll never, ever adapt and get better and succeed eventually. And I think that's one of the most key points, is making mistakes is good. Learn from them.
I know back in 2012 for the London Olympics, you just narrowly missed out by 19 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. So over 20K, you know, 19 seconds is not much. 20K is the Olympic distance. And so that was gutting, and that was an absolute killer, you know. That was a very long week after that race. But now, you know, I'm 4 minutes faster than I was in those days, and records galore, and achieved things I would never have dreamt of achieving. And I put that down to that disappointment spurred me on so much to make sure I made European Championships, World Championships, got as much experience in as possible. That brings us up to 2016 and the Olympic Games.
And I think something like that either makes you or breaks you, doesn't it? And that's, you know, that's where your mindset comes in. That's where an Olympian mindset comes in.
Absolutely. You know, I could have just said, that's it. I missed out. I'm done. I can't deal with that again. I'm never going to get better, or I don't want to do it anymore. That's just a defeated attitude. And I had to pull myself together, get back training, do the hard work. And I'm so glad I did.
So how are you feeling about Rio?
I cannot wait now. The qualifying period can be stressful and long, but thankfully I had an injury-free and kind of problematic-free season, I guess. And everything went to plan. This is what I've been training for pretty much since I decided to go full time, like when I was 18, 19.
So, I mean, what does competing mean to you, especially if you could even possibly win at Rio?
I don't think I'm going to win in Rio, you know. My personal best time over 20K definitely puts me up there. But off my experience and where I'm at as an athlete in development, I'm just about to enter my peak. So the next kind of Olympic cycle is where I want to start winning medals. But, you know, I've worked my socks off. I've done everything I possibly can in the build-up to Rio. So whether I finish 1st, 8th, 10th or 15th or 20th or lower than that, you know I've done everything I possibly can. This season's been full of surprises. It's all been paying off. And so I just say, well, bring on another surprise. Let's go and see how many of those big dogs we can take out and let this underdog come through.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's all about the underdog. What would you say your biggest challenge would be to date?
Oh, that's a really good question. You know, as a bit younger, I really struggled with balancing training and just social life and everything. I really struggled because I'm a very outgoing, extrovert sort of person. And it's quite a lonely job being an athlete because you're away a lot. You're early nights, training, eating, sleeping, training. You're not socializing, you're not out and about. So when I was at uni, I certainly didn't get the most probably out of training. But at the same time, I wasn't able, my body wasn't strong enough at that point when I was 20, 21 to really put the big, big mileage in. And we tried and I picked up a few little injuries. And so I kind of was a bit like, oh, well, I just want to go out with my friends this evening or just go out for dinner or see family or something else, and I might miss a session here and there or pick up another little injury. And so for 2 or 3 years, that was probably the biggest thing I had to get through in terms of sporting problems, I guess. And now my training is so consistent and so much better than it ever was. That spurs me on as well.
That's great. It is a complete lifestyle change. So it must have been so hard for someone so young to have that mindset, you know, not be able to hang out with their friends, not be able to go down the pub or go and, you know, eat out, have a pizza or something, to just kind of just be headset on exactly what it is that you want to do and focus on it and train hard to get to where you are now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You got it spot on there. And that's it. You know, I moved 200 miles north from Kent to Leeds. So I wanted to make some friends and kind of create a life for myself. And my coach encouraged that as well, because he realised that I'd moved up to a different city and a whole kind of new environment. So it just took me a while to get the balance right, I guess.
So tell me what you think your proudest moment to date would be in your career so far.
You know, every time I pull on the GB vest, that's an honour anyway. But I guess competing in front of a home crowd at British Championships and every British record as well is a big deal. And I think my career highlight was the Olympic trial in Leeds. And it was the moment where I got to secure my qualification for the Rio Olympics. It became real that moment. I had to win or come second in that trial because I had the qualifying time to Rio. So the special thing was it was in front of all my friends, all my family. Everybody turned out who kind of knew me in the local area. And it was just really, really special day.
Fantastic. Who would you say is your fiercest competitor?
Well, in the walks, you know, it's the Chinese right now. Have to try and take them on and see if we can get them off the podium. There's also a nice kind of group of Commonwealth walkers as well from Canada are incredibly strong. Australia have always been very strong. And there's a New Zealander as well. And they're all very good friends of mine. And so if I can take out any of them over the 20K, I'd be honoured and know I'll be at the right end of the race, that's for sure.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so now the final three tracks that would complete your mixtape. These are the biggies. First up, I want to know, what is your ultimate hype track? Which song do you think just never fails to get your blood pumping?
I'd go straight to John Newman, Come and Get It, because again, it is literally saying to you as an athlete or in whatever world you work in, literally, if you want this, you've got to go out and work for it now. This is the moment. And, you know, I've used this on everything from YouTube videos and just everyday life to that moment before a race. Sometimes, you know, I psych myself up in front of a mirror in a hotel room before I go out and compete or something like that. And this ultimate song, I would listen to maybe twice or three times even.
Next, let's turn our attention to your Rio anthem. So the song that sums up your journey on the road to Rio so far.
This one took me by surprise a little bit. I'm a bit of an Elvis fan. I'm a new Elvis fan, I think. And I got his latest reworked album that they did with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra for Christmas. And one song, If I Can Dream, on there just was like, well, the Olympic Games this season is all I have dreamt about since missing, you know, the London Olympic Games. And it just hit the nail on the head for me, really. And if I'm listening to that or that comes on and I hear that, I just close my eyes and dream of the ultimate goal and what could be, what could happen in Rio.
Yes. So let's talk about the ultimate goal. Let's just imagine you're out there, you've won gold. What song would you want playing when you take home that gold medal? I want to know what your gold record is.
So this song is a total... I'm always ashamed to admit to this song, but again, it has so much meaning to me, and that's Sia and Chandelier.
Oh, really? Okay, why that song?
So when I broke the 3,000 metre British record earlier this year at Sheffield, as I crossed the line, the music hit and it was this song. But the crowd was so loud and the crowd were so behind me, and the race and the time was so fast, 10 minutes 58. I think I took something like 17 seconds off the previous record at over 3K. With an indoor race as well, the sound is just electrifying. And so it brings me straight back to that moment of crossing the line, winning, breaking that British record. And I thought, God, if I'm going to win again, that song would be perfect to hit straight away. And it just happens that it was a holiday tune for me and my partner maybe 2 years ago, and one that we couldn't stop playing. So the best thing is, it has meaning outside of sport, and it's already got one huge memory attached to it, and I would love it to mean an Olympic memory.
Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. It's been brilliant.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me and taking the time and interest into race walking.
Yes, well, I wish you all the best with everything. Hopefully a lot more people will become more familiar with it. And who knows, good luck with what's going to happen in the future.
Thank you very much. Here's to more success.
The Motivation Mixtape Podcast is an original production by Audioboom.